This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk.
You caught me off.
Oh, what?
You caught me off guard.
I caught you off guard, did I?
Yes.
Well, I was also trying to plan my way through all the tweets, and I've lost count of who you've read and who you haven't. Have you read Tracy's tweet about the job fair?
No.
Okay. All right.
Carry on.
Oh, I've got to find it now. Oh, I know what it is anyway.
Show your face to your phone.
Sorry?
Show your face to your phone.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm using the screen now because it's easier. So Tracy is reminding us that there's a Jobs in Kent recruitment fair which is taking place on the 18th of March at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham. And it's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. and it's completely free to attend. There will be people there helping with advice on preparing your CV, on interview advice, and also careers advice on what kind of things to look for. And the thing is being done in conjunction with the Department of Work and Pensions, the Job Centre Plus from Medway. So do get along to that. If you want to find out, there's 24 employers there currently, and we're still waiting confirmation for some others. So we expect there to be in excess of 30 employers there. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/pentagon, you can find out all the details, and you can also see a list of all the people that will be exhibiting there.
How do you get involved in being a business there?
You have to ask me nicely, because it's free. So it's only invited businesses.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. When I say free, I mean I'm paying for it, basically. We've invited local employers from Medway. So if you want to be there, either get in contact with me or Tracy Ferguson, who's my project
manager. So it's a bit different, say, than 30-30, as in 30-30, you just turn up on the day. This is pre-booked.
For exhibitors, yeah.
Yeah,
for the companies. Yeah, because you're going to have an exhibition stand there. So you have to let us know you're coming. So we've got space to fit you in. Mm. But if you're just a delegate, if you're just looking for work, you can just show up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no booking or anything. You just turn up. And it's in the shopping centre anyway, so loads of people walk past and go, what's going on here then, and wander over anyway and nick all the pens.
I used to do that when I was a nurse.
Yeah, it's the only reason I go to trade shows, for the stress balls and the pens.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'll drive miles for a stress ball, me.
All the fluffy little stupid things with the tail things on them.
Oh, the gonks.
What on earth is that
yeah.
about?
The gonks. When I was a kid, you used to stick them on the end of your pencil, those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
These are the ones where, you know, the little furry things with the name of the company on the tag.
Yeah, on a little ribbon.
Yeah, and you just stick it on.
Yeah, they
Why would you put it on the end of your pen?
Because they used to make them like that, without a hole up under, that you
no,
stuck your pencil
No, they don't
in.
Have
yeah,
them, though.
Yeah, trolls they were. Yeah, you're right, Anthony. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Venom Tech have been on.
Yeah.
They're quite busy at the minute with us. We haven't heard from them for years, and then all of a sudden they've come out of the woodwork.
Oh, Steve's all over the place. He's still a member of Scientists with Luscious Hair, and he's also a drummer. I think he's a drummer. Yeah, drummer.
Another one.
Yeah, in a band. Yeah. Anyway, Venom Tech. Yeah.
He's put today's the day that we go live on Business Bunker with Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike for the latest business news. Thanks. That was a great little advert for us. Thank you very much, Venom Tech. So here it is, Venom Tech. There's your shout out. Have a great show, guys. We shall.
Fantastic. Thank you. The Networkers Networking event is back on Wednesday, the 18th of March at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and it's at Eastwell Manor in Ashford. It's a full day event. And it's all about networking and it's to help business owners to understand how to make their networking more effective and efficient. We all know networking is one of the best methods for making connections, meeting other business owners, starting great collaborations, gaining new clients and subsequently ensuring that your business builds and grows. But do you know how to be most effective and efficient with your time whilst networking? Well, join us to learn more. The theme of the first event for this year is marketing, and the day will include two speakers who are Tabitha Beasley, who is the marketing assistant, and Tabitha is going to give you top tips to marketing your business for free. Okay. And then we're also going to hear from Mike Hacker, otherwise known as Hacks, of Prisma Broadcast, who's going to talk about organising your sales pitch and capturing great video footage for your marketing. Yeah.
What was that all about?
I don't like video, do I? I'm not a visual person. We've just discussed
well,
that.
You'll get left behind then.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll be blockbusters, I tell you.
I was left behind a long time ago.
Should have been a big media company. That's what we are, says exactly. Gary Vaynerchuk.
There's a networking activity. You're going to be solving clues and puzzles with team building company Escape on Site. So it's an escape room, but an escape room in a bag. Yeah. Interesting, eh? And then there's going to be the round table discussions, which everybody really has a lot of fun with. And lots of networking. You can book and join us for the whole day, or if you prefer, you can book without lunch, or you can just pop in, buy a pop-in ticket. So tickets are available from £15, and there's also an early bird now as well. So if you want to book, find out more details, or see what's going on, if you go to www...
World Wide Web.
Evexio, E-V-E-X-I-O, .co.uk/whatson.
Entries are now open for the best business events in Canterbury. I can't apply because I'm global.
You're global, darling. Awards, you're global.
They're free, simple and quick to enter. The gala dinner takes place at Broome Park, Canterbury on the 26th of March. Ian, are you?
I am hosting it.
All of it?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. You need to go to
www.wibblywobblyway.
businessawardskent.co.uk.
It's at Broome Park. I'm looking forward to it.
Beautiful.
We had a fabulous event there last year. It was fantastic. It really was good. And it's a bigger and better event this year. It's really good. Really good.
Do you remember Bridge? The Bridge Country Club?
Yeah.
Why are you grinning? I'm not even going to say because I know why you're grinning.
You know
anyway.
Why I'm grinning, don't you?
Country Club.
Do you know as well? I used to go there when I was younger, much younger.
I don't remember that.
No, do you not?
Ah, Bridge Country Club was the place to be. Anyway, they've
just grab a granny.
I tried so much to distract you from that and take you far from it very quickly, and you went there. Right, so Bridge Country Club has now changed into the Pig.
I beg your pardon?
The Pig.
Yeah. The Pig.
It's supposed to be amazing. And so I was just thinking of that venue. Cause
the
it's
Pig.
Right, it's called The Pig.
Really?
Yep, near Broome Park.
I go to a pub restaurant called Pig and Sty, which is fairly new at Betherston, which is lovely. It's fabulous. But
well, there's another one called The Dog, and that's in Wingham.
Yeah, no, I know The Dog in Wingham as well. But they're pubs, so they have unusual names. So I'm just The Pig.
That's what it's called.
My local's the Cat and Custard Pub. That's
funny. Oh, is it? Really?
I love the Cat and Custard.
Yeah.
I love that pub so much.
Yeah.
It's just.
Anyway,
I suppose it's just me with my history of the Bridge Country Club.
Yeah, it is yours.
Well, that's what's
anyway,
me
let's
there.
Move on. We've got. I'm going to take him well away from here, since this is a business show. Business owners and managers join Business Bunker Radio Show. Jobsinkent.com and FSB Kent on their Skills 3030 program. This is a schools program to inspire the next generation of talent about the world of work. Details of next free event to it are. Are you ready for this? 3rd of June. I can't believe we're actually talking about this. Yeah. 3rd of June 2020 at the 100 Who?
The 100 of Who's Academy, yeah.
You all say it's so weird. 26th of June 2020, Wilmington Academy.
Yep.
And then you've got the 8th of July 2020, Mass School, and that's at Paddockwood. Go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk and then put /3030. Love that idea. I would like to go.
It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. We've had, we've now passed 1,600 students have been through the programme.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, which is fantastic. It's really good and it's great fun.
And again, another thing that you had, yes, you had a vision for it, but you didn't have any business plan or idea or projection of it.
I've never had a business plan in my life.
Yep.
You know how it came about? It came about out of a big fight, literally a fight. Yeah. I was chairing a TV program, right, at Ebbsfleet. It was at Dartford Football Club was actually the venue, but it was about Ebbsfleet Garden City. And this was years ago when they were just thinking about planning it. Okay. And there was a huge audience there of people from the local community, and the politicians and, land securities and the people behind the development were thinking they were being really smug because they got up and they said, this is going to be really great for the area because we're going to create thousands of construction jobs. And all the construction companies in the audience went, don't talk out of your backside. We can't even build the things we've got because we can't get anybody to build anything at the moment. How are we going to build all this? It's nonsense. And then somebody went, if it wasn't for our blooming schools not teaching kids, you know, the normal kind of argument, I mean, our kids are all useless, they're all snowflakes, they couldn't hold a trowel up the right way. And anyway, schools don't teach them anything useful. And there were a number of head teachers in the audience as well who took umbrage at that and tried to explain that they do in fact teach what they need to teach, but unless somebody tells them what you want and not getting anyway. So my take on that was, well, hold on, there's a problem here, because this lot believe one thing, this lot believe another, and until they talk to each other, we're never going to get anywhere. And anyway, young people at school aren't tremendously well served in this country with careers advice. Yeah. So that's how the idea came together, and it came together on the spur of the moment. And we called it 30-30 because the first couple we did, there were 30 kids and 30 businesses, basically.
Interesting.
And it's been a fantastic success.
Have you had any feedback from careers? Because there is a careers development officer and there's a careers department. Does one, it brush them up the wrong way? And two, how do you bring them along with you on the journey?
Yeah. No, it doesn't brush them up the wrong way. I mean, in my experience, they're all keen to learn because the beauty of the 30-30 is it ticks all the Gatsby criteria for a whole year in one go, in one two-hour hit. Yeah. And we've introduced 30 local businesses to the careers teacher, who's now got a relationship with 30 local businesses. So they've got people to talk to. They've got people they can send their students out on work experience to, because these people are engaged with the school. So we've never had anyone try to fight us over it. You know, a few have been, well, not really sure how this is going to work. But once we've done it and they've seen it and the pupils have enjoyed it, and there isn't a single school we've been to that hasn't invited us back to do the next year. And kind of answering the question you almost asked as well about the success of it, one of the things I did in the early stages of this is the big thing that we talk to careers teachers about is their reliance on personal statements in CVs, okay, which employers hate with a vengeance because they're all the same, yeah? I'm a great team player, but I'm capable of working on my own, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And we did a lot of work on that in the early days, and saying, you know, that doesn't work. You need to rethink this. And I came up with some things that they ought to do instead. And Sean, who's the chief executive, not the principal, the chief executive of the Academy Group, yeah, invited me to spend a day with all the careers teachers from the 18 schools they had then talking about this. And we did some experiments. We tried a group of students getting them work experience and interviews for jobs. We had 10 students, and we sent conventional CVs, and then we sent my CVs. And all 10 of mine got interviews. The others didn't. And that was just because we were writing the CV relevant to the job rather than a general purpose CV, and telling people why we wanted to come and experience what they had. And a CV is purely a document to get you through the door, and no more, no less. It's just about getting you in front of someone. So it's worked. And I've got to say, the lovely feedback we get from employers is how surprised they are about how much talent there is amongst our younger people. And there is. Generation Z are a complete different set of people to millennials as well. They're far more work-ready than millennials were, to be quite frank.
Do you know what I love, though? I always love the way that a generation disowns the generation that they've just brought up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was my responsibility. I've just brought up that generation. Yeah. So actually, if they are de-skilled, I need to look at what was I doing to take away the skills, or not to teach the skills that were transferable.
Guilt.
Rather than blame.
I don't think they were ever de-skilled. I don't think, you know, there's always been talent and skill there, and there always will be. And it's like anything. There's a range of people that have different attitudes, yeah. The skill levels exist, and the attitudes to work exist as well. It's just, you know, digging them out and putting them on display, you know. Well, but one of the things you've got to remember, that the people that you're dealing with are teenagers, and any parent knows that teenagers are stroppy. That's, you know, that's what teenagers do, and therefore, you know, they're not always. I'm laughing because A long, long time ago, I did a talk at a college, okay, and I was alongside a guy that was, he just got an OBE for all of his work, working with small businesses and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he came along to give a talk about the world of work as well. And he said, I'll go first because I'm experienced in all of this. Okay, off you go then. So he started talking. Of course, the kids were paying no attention whatsoever. And he lost his rag eventually. And he went, do you know what? I've met the Queen. And, of course, they all went, he's met the Queen. Oh, he's met the Queen. And this guy got so angry, he walked off. And, you know, it's just an inability to deal with a group of people that are always going to be a bit, you know, unimpressed by having met the Queen. Cool. Anyway, we're going to do a couple more emails and tweets, and then we're going to talk to our next guests.
Was that a cue for me?
It was.
Oh, missed it. Right, OK, we have a variety of offices. Available for rent within our Green Acres building. If you are looking for affordable workspace, why not consider having a viewing with us? Our office space is located within 15 minutes of Maidstone and Kings Hill with easy access to the M20. We are also just over a mile from Wateringbury. Excuse me, station with routes to London. We have function room and cafe bistro on site, so perfect for conferences. Discounted prices are also available for those who rent our office space. So find out more, www.kenwoodtrust.org.uk. They need to put a few more after that, but go into their Green Acres office space site.
Cool. Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up on tweets. The Federation of Small Business just tweeted, actually.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't had that come through.
She tweeted it to me, that's why. This week it's all about understanding a new High Street report, Kent Business Summit, planning the 2020 apprentice graduation ceremony, meeting members, and important strategic lunch with Vanilla Web. We're having lunch.
Are you?
Yeah.
When?
Me and Alison. I don't know. It's in my diary. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're talking about the apprentice graduation scheme again.
Nice.
Good.
You want more?
One more, and then I'm going to talk to Anthony.
Edenbridge Community Car Wash, which is not for profit social enterprise, working for the community of Edenbridge, helping unemployed and disadvantaged people into work. This has been a tremendous success, helping young people regain their self-belief and motivation to work. Sadly, they now have to vacate the site they use to deliver their programme. So if anyone knows of a suitable site in Edenbridge area, please get in touch with Gillian Humble. Now, let's just get a little bit detail with this. Give us what would you say the site looks like? A suitable site, because that could be anything, couldn't it? Does it need running water?
Well, it's a bit of a ground, and I would imagine it needs water on it in some way. Or the ability to run a hose pipe to some water is probably what needs. But that's not always true, because I know car wash sites that bring their own tanks or whatever, so I don't know what Gillian's got. All I know is that she started this a long time ago, and it's been very successful. She's got some very underprivileged young people with changing their attitudes towards work by giving them some fun work to do and earning some money doing this. And she's shipped a lot of people through this scheme. It's all not for profit. She doesn't make any money. She herself lives hand to mouth because she ploughs everything back into it. And unfortunately, they want to build houses on the site, which is understandable.
But this happens to all of us in business, doesn't it? You know, you have to find new premises. So, Gillian, just give us a tweet to know what a suitable site looks like in Edenbridge area. And if you think you can help her,
www.biz.uk.com. Fantastic. It's an absolute privilege now to welcome onto the show for the very first time Anthony and Sorrel from Fresh Start Education.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for being patient until we got round to talking to you. We're all having a bit of a waffle up today.
It's been interesting.
Why don't you? I don't mind who goes. You can talk at the same time or one at a time or take it in turns. I really don't mind. But give us an overview of what your organisation is about and how you two came to be in it and doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll start then. Okay. I'll backpedal a bit. Back in the late 1990s, not 1900s, but 1990s, my wife and I were foster carers.
Okay, yeah.
And we fostered hard-to-place adolescent kids.
Yep.
And we had a number through. We used to have three at a time, usually from different families, which gave me a real insight into what lives these kids had.
Sure.
We worked for a couple of independent fostering agencies who were more interested in money than children.
Yep.
And in the end, I said to my wife, because I'd run several businesses before, we could do this better. Let's set up our own.
Right, okay.
So starting from scratch, we were lucky. We had a large-ish house with a basement we could use as an office. We set up our own fostering agency, and we recruited our own foster carers, and we trained them. And we built it around the model of an extended family. So there were all sorts of different age foster carers. We provided babysitting once a week or child minding so the carers could get out, because normally you couldn't. And those people were trained so that they knew how to handle anything that kicked off.
Right.
Right from the get-go, we had someone working for the company. It was my oldest daughter at the time, to find education for them, places. Because a lot of these kids came from a different area. They had no social worker. Mm. They didn't know what to do. The carers didn't know what to do. It's like a pressure cooker, 24/7. You can't even have friends around to stay. They can't go and stay the night anywhere. So we'd do educational things with them and try and find school places for them.
Right.
And that's really where the current business grew out of. Around about 2013, I passed the fostering agency on to a national company called Capstone. We had carers in London, in Folkestone, in Ashford, down in Cornwall. And they picked up the whole lot and carried them because they had a similar ethos to us, which was take good care of the carers and they'll take good care of the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fresh Start, well, that was at the time Fresh Start for Kids. We thought, here's something. Getting children into education, let's do that. Let's talk to all the fostering agencies in Kent, because there are more in Kent than anywhere else, and offer our services, because it'll help the placements last longer. It'll help stop them breaking down, and it'll help these kids get into school, or at least education that's appropriate for them. And only, I think, two out of 120 we approached were interested in talking to us, and
Was that schools?
No, that was fostering agencies.
Oh, right, okay.
We were offering them an incentive, financial incentive, for anything that came our way. But they seemed more interested in seeing if it was something they could copy rather than...
Right, okay. Yeah.
So in the end, we thought, well, stuff it. We've got to go and find this business. We talked to Kent. They were in the middle of reorganising and restructuring their virtual school and everything else. So we went to London and we started talking to some London local authorities, and well, the first little London local authority, we went to see them and said, give us your worst kid. So they gave us a five-year-old who'd been permanently excluded from school at the age of five.
Right.
And
my kind of kid.
Yeah. Real character.
Yeah, exactly.
A real character. Yeah. And Sorrel had worked for us at the fostering agency for nearly 8 years then, I think. Went and worked with him up in London every day, leaving at 5 o'clock from Folkestone.
Wow.
And a friend's wife, who was a qualified teacher, went up as well. And after 6 months, they got him back into school.
Wow.
And that was nearly 10 years ago, and he's still there doing fine.
Cool.
And it was all about finding out these kids who have turned their back on education and said, stuff it, or education said, stuff you.
Yeah.
And they don't want to know. But how do you re-engage them? So Fresh Start in Education, which is what we're now called, became about engagement.
Right.
Much before anything else, let's find out if they're just interested in selling drugs. At least they've got an interest.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know they want to have a store in the local market selling trainers in a couple of years' time, well, it's an interest. Let's look at that. Let's start to pick at the edge of that and see how we can get them to see that maybe some form of education is going to be useful. And we've been doing that now for 10 years. We've had over 1,000 kids through, and we're 96% successful at getting them back into full-time education.
That's fantastic. I love what you said there, because it's absolutely true. Every human being has some talents and abilities and something in them. And quite often, because we want to shove everybody down a same route in the same box, we completely miss it. Many, many years ago, I worked as a volunteer for a charity in South London, looking at finding work for ex-offenders. And I was working one-to-one with a lad called Oscar. And Oscar had come out of prison for the third time, age 23, And his current girlfriend that week had just had a baby. And it changed his attitude completely. He was absolutely absorbed with his baby. And he wanted to turn his life around and do everything different, because he now had a child and that made a big difference to him. And I was trying to get him work. And I was trying to get him work as a salesperson. I'll go into this company and go, right, I think he could be a really good asset for you. And I go, well, what would he know about sales? I mean, he's been dealing Class A drugs on the street since he was 11 years old. He knows more about sales than you ever will, except that he doesn't have to hit anyone with a pickaxe handle to sell your product. And they've gone, ah, good point. And that's the case, isn't it?
People, you know, it's finding that the diamond in all that rough stuff, basically. And we developed the company from there because... there used to be statements of special educational needs, and they now call them education, health, and care plans.
Right.
And I read a paper a couple of years ago the Department for Education produced that said effectively only 5% of kids with one of these ever get into work.
Yeah.
95% spend their lives in homes or in accommodation, and often they die 15, 20 years earlier than they should do.
Yeah.
And we thought this is ridiculous. So we set up a company of work placements. Now, what that does is it takes... kids of school-leaving age who have had enough of education. Maybe they just never got on with it. And we work with them on employability using the ASDAN scheme and numeracy and literacy, hopefully functional skills levels. And we then look for employers. There are lots of employers out there who would like to employ someone who's perhaps autistic, neurally diverse. In fact, some banks recruit them specially now because they've found what good employees they are. But it's helping them understand each other. So we help that young person understand the world of work. We help the employer understand how they work. And we accompany them. We help the two learn to work together. And that's proven very useful.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Funny enough, I work very closely with Kent Supported Employment, finding work for people with disabilities and supported needs, not just physical disabilities, but on the autism spectrum and with mental health issues and stuff like that.
I've got them on my show in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, have you?
The whole team. Do you remember they came on?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so taken with them all. I said, look, you've got to come on and just do a whole show about this rather than, so I've got them for an hour on the conversation in about 3 weeks.
Well, they've got the Education People, which is the company now that's a KCC company that runs it all. They've got a huge conference which I'm chairing in a couple of weeks' time about all of these issues. My big thing, you may or may not know, I own Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment portal, and the big problem we face in this country is we now have a massive skill shortage. Recruiting people is impossible almost. It's really, really difficult. Yet over 17% of the available workforce is excluded because they have a problem of one kind, he says, doing bunny ears for the radio listeners, because they have a problem of one kind or another. But that's we all have problems. We all have problems. The fact is they also have a lot of talent, and if we keep excluding that talent for silly reasons, we're never going to fill the talent gap that
we've
got.
And actually, you don't want people in jobs like that who got on well at school. You want people who can do that job well.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, school's something that passes a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But we recruit a lot of teachers. We've got over 200 working for us all over the country.
Right.
And we recruit, we take, the qualification gets you through the door, but what we're looking for is heart. We're looking for people who actually care and want to work one-to-one with kids. We're not interested in people who want to get qualifications. We want them to develop the individual. I mean, out of this has developed various other businesses, but we've now got an online face-to-face one-to-one learning, which is open to everyone, including adults. Say you're going on holiday and you want to learn Spanish, you'd like to be able to speak a few words, we'll teach you Spanish. We'll find you a native-speaking Spaniard who'll teach you Spanish. Wow. You don't have to be a visual learner, conversational.
Yeah.
You want help with your maths, Kent test, anything like that, any age, any subject. Because we've got so many people working for us with such diverse skills, we're looking for someone, a Swahili-speaking teacher.
Right.
We've got one of those.
All right.
Because we're looking at developing overseas as well.
Yeah.
Effectively, it's like Blockbuster. We don't want to become a dinosaur. We want to see where the market's going. Where's the pain? Yeah. Where are the people heading? And actually possibly be ahead of the game, but at least at the front of the queue. But it's just such a massive, massive problem, education in this country. But it doesn't have to be when you take it out of the school setting. As I say, we employ a lot of teachers, and then many of them tell me, they say one of the problems with schools and teachers, and I think schools do a brilliant job on the whole, is that teachers have spent all their life in school.
Yeah.
And they, through no fault of their own, they haven't been exposed very often to actually what happens outside of that, which doesn't always put them in the best place to help the kids.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my big things, me and school didn't get on either. You'll be shocked to know.
Nor me.
I left when I was 14. Well, I say left. I was shown the door. The fact is, especially amongst young men, I don't. There's a huge number of people that just don't get on with school, and and we try to force testosterone-laden boys into staying in an environment where they're just not getting anywhere. And I think that's just short-sighted and wrong, and it doesn't develop their actual skills, because our schools. I read a paper. You may have come across this. I can't remember the chap's name. It's suddenly gone out of my head. Howard Gardner. Howard Gardner was the head of educational research at Harvard back in the 80s, and he was the one that developed a thing that became known as emotional intelligence. Yeah, but his original paper was looking at academic intelligence and its success rates outside of academia, and he was shocked to find how few people that graduated summa cum laude from Harvard and Princeton and the Ivy League actually were massively successful in life. Some of them had really good jobs, but their lives fell apart, you know, all kinds of reasons. Whereas a lot of people that didn't even make it through high school became very successful people. And he started going, there's an issue here. We're putting too much emphasis on education and not enough on attitude and what we're doing. Right. And hence emotional intelligence came out of that. But we haven't learned anything in 40 years in our education, we still do the same thing, you know. Oh, we'll take some tests, see if you know what you're doing. You know, it's crazy stuff. I love what you're doing, and I love the fact that you've been doing what we were talking about earlier, which is kind of innovating as you go along.
Yeah.
By the seat of your pants, going, oh, there's a problem. We can feel that.
I get bored quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that because that's real. That's real. Let's respond into something that's looking at it. Sorry, I want to hear from you though, because you've obviously got some special talents there to take a 5 year old that's got an attitude. I just love that. Are you
five?
Oh, he was lovely. Yeah. He was nice. Yeah. I mean, there was biting and spitting and kicking, but he was.
Don't we all?
He was lovely. No, I think it's it's seeing that potential in every single young person that we work with.
Yeah. This is a genuine question. We're looking at people like that 5 year old and the issues that they have. Do you think it's because they're bored, because they do have a lot of potential that isn't being utilised, you know, or is it just that they're rebelling against what they don't like? You know, can you put your finger on why some kids are like that?
I think there's a whole host of reasons for this one in particular. There was a lot of medical stuff as well, so there've been complications at birth that had impacted on his development. So I think it's taken into account, especially the rise in numbers of young children we're seeing. It's you know, children born with special needs now, whereas 40 years ago, 50 years ago, they'd have been institutionalised. They wouldn't have even had a chance to get into the classroom.
Yeah, sure.
Or they'd have died at birth.
Or they'd have died at birth because the medical treatment now, they're living longer.
Yeah, of course.
So they are making it in, and every young person has a right to an education.
Yeah.
And so the expectation is they go in at that young age, age 4 or 5, they're in school, maybe before some of those developmental needs and delays have become apparent. And so it's only then when they're trying to fit them into that classroom setting, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't think at that age they're necessarily actively choosing to rebel. I think it's that they just don't know how to function in that setting. And schools are under so much pressure. They've got Ofsted requirements to meet. They've got huge numbers of children with one adult who is supposed to know them intimately, their need, what they need to thrive. And it's difficult.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because if you look at the world, you can see lots of ways of resolving things like that. But if you try and run everything top down and make it all fit into one system, you can't possibly do it. You just can't possibly do it. Different people have different needs. Just in a completely different context, but the same syndrome. Malcolm Gladwell, have you ever read any of Malcolm Gladwell's? He wrote a book called The Tipping Point and a few other books.
Oh, yes.
Outliers.
Yeah. Malcolm did a fantastic survey of sports people, and he came out with this amazing thing that the vast majority of successful professional sports people were born between September and January. And he did this tongue-in-cheek thing about astrology, and then went, actually, it's bullshit. It's got nothing to do with astrology. It's all about school. Because the kids born in that are the oldest in every year group. And because they're the oldest, they tend to be the biggest. And because they're the biggest, the coaches concentrate on coaching them. And it was as simple as that. And as an experiment, they took a bunch of kids that were relatively the same age but were born at other times of the year, and they put them through an intensive coaching program, and they were just as good as anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you it's horses for courses. It's taking a child and trying to fit them into something that suits them rather than them wedging them into a square hole.
Well, who's the teacher going to teach? The children who engage with them or the ones who don't?
Yeah.
Actually, the good teachers, or many teachers, would love to engage with those ones who won't. But they've got the other 29, 28 to do. So that one has to be left, and they then become disruptive, and then they get excluded, and or it's suggested that the parent goes for elective homeschooling.
So I'm fascinated. So from a process point of view, how does your business work? How are you presented with the cases that you work on?
I mean, how do they come to us?
Yeah.
So because we work across the whole country. We work with local authorities, with schools. We go out to conferences, exhibitions, do mail outs, and we're saying we're here.
Right.
We can help you. We're not trying to say that we're doing better.
Yeah.
We're actually doing the work that teachers would love to be able to do if they could be one-on-one.
Yeah.
And they have a statutory duty to provide education for these young people. So we're going to the pain point and saying, let us help with that. Let us help meet that need and get these young people back on track for their future.
Do the schools refer to you direct, or does it come through, say, for example, we're in Kent, so would KCC then have the referral? How do you get that child to your services?
Yeah, schools, local authorities, SEN teams. That's for the Fresh Start Education. And then parents can also refer themselves to the online tutoring and the online counselling, because we also do a lot of work with mental health as well.
Right. Because one of the big problems is accessing child and adolescent mental health services, CAMHS, all over the country, because they're swamped. It's just more than they can cope with. So we set up this counselling service with fully qualified counsellors, and we're accredited ourselves by the British Association for Counselling and Psychology.
And that's done online,
That's all done online, so you don't have to leave home.
Do you find that people are more responsive to that?
Yes, much more so, because you've got three kids.
Yeah.
You've got swimming, you've got ballet, you've got this, you've got that, and then you've got to take one of them for counselling. Who knows where, quite late at night, or in London.
Yeah.
This is online, in the privacy of your own home or the child's own room, talking to a fully qualified counsellor who can provide the support. And that could be support with something like bullying, with anxiety, particularly approaching exams and all that sort of thing. So we're not talking about major psychological problems here. There has to, and their parents talk to us. We have a free consultation. Mm. We talk it through. We decide what's best. If we're not the best solution, we won't take them, but we'll signpost.
It would strike me, and I'm going to ask this or make this statement, but it's actually a question. Do you find, though, that people respond to that online better because they don't have to go, you know, I've got to take my Jill or Johnny to a psychotherapist or a counsellor, and then the kid don't want to go, I'm not going to see some quack, and da-da-da-da-da. Whereas if you sit them in front of a screen, they can get up and walk away if they don't like it.
Well, I think when we find that now with young people, they're so using their phones and tablets all the time. That's second nature to them. That is absolutely natural. It's where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And so if we can work with these young people in that situation with the technology they're comfortable with, then they're going to respond, and they do. Adults as well.
Absolutely.
We're all using technology, so this is why we're using it.
I could, you know, I don't know about you, but we're used to using chatbots on websites that we go to now. If you want to complain to BT, you talk to some computer chatbot about it and go, you're useless, you are, and they go, yes, we are.
I don't want to do meetings anymore, going to their places. I want to do them either on a phone call in my car, because that saves me time, or I want to do it virtual. I do not want to go and meet people anymore.
Well, that's the reason I asked the question of Sorrel as well, though, because to me it strikes me that this may sound a bit silly, but it's a bit of a safer environment for someone to say, look, I can do this online.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't have to get up. I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. If when you think people are struggling with mental health difficulties, they're already struggling.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To put the stress in of, A, how do I find a counsellor? How do I get there? Mm. Where have I got to go? What's the protocol? All of that kind of stuff is such an added
And what if I don't
burden.
Like them?
And what if I don't like? So we do that initial consultation to put them at ease, find out what they need, and then we match them with the counsellor that's going to be best for them. Nobody has to leave home. Nobody has. It doesn't matter then if they're councillors in Scotland and they're down in Cornwall.
Yeah.
And it's the best fit. There's no problem. They can still meet.
And if they don't like them, then we'll change it for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, for no cost.
And we tell them that.
And you could be at work on your lunch break in a private room and you can have a counselling session. No one needs to know you're having counselling. Mm. Yeah. And the same goes for the children, adults. So we cover the whole age range. Mm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There's so many questions to ask, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
You know, I want to go...
And not much time left.
Yeah, I know. Well,
the first one has to be the website's freshstart.direct.
Right.
And that gives you the education, and it gives you a link to the counselling, and it gives you a link to Fresh Start and Education, which is the big one. But Fresh Start, full stop, direct.
Right.
And you can have www.
So, Anthony, are you the founder? You're the CEO of the company?
Of all of them, there are a series of companies, I'm afraid. I'm a sort of serial company creator. But, I started Fresh Start for Kids, or as it was originally, Fresh Start in Education, was just me and two children in Cornwall with a teacher down in Cornwall. And then gradually it grew. Sorrel came along, various other people. We've got 35 office staff now based in Folkestone.
Wow, OK.
And we've got, as I said, about 230 teachers and mentors all over the UK, and we're adding to them all the time. We own our own recruitment company. I used to be in recruitment.
Right,
7 years in it. And we've got gold standard from the Recruitment Employment Confederation for safeguarding. Everything we do is built around safeguarding.
Yeah,
sure. We're obsessive about it because we believe you've got to keep children as safe as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
So we recruit all our own people, and that's a full-time job. We employ 6-7 people.
Cool.
It always amazes me with these. It's such an emotional subject, isn't it? One, children, and two, education. But and I mean this with the most love and respect. Why is it that you did something, and why do you care?
Yeah, I don't know. It's. I think once you've seen the need, you've got one of two things you can do about it. You can complain about it, or you can do something about it. And when it came down to it, it turned out I was a doer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did something about it, and.
But you're doing more than just doing something about it. You've built a serial
company's
holding system here.
Yeah, but, you know, you see the need and it's an opportunity. And actually, I think it's fun because money, yeah, okay, nice to have some. But frankly, if you could just turn one child round, what else does that affect? It affects their parents immediately, their siblings. And we see this from the reports we get in from parents going, wow, you changed our lives. Their potential partner, their children, the people they didn't mug or kill or let down or whatever, and all of a sudden, that's with one. Now we've done over 1,000, and I'd like to do thousands and thousands more because what are you going to leave behind you? You know, a couple of bank statements. Or...
Yeah, absolutely. And it's absolutely true. I mean, the fact is that from a societal point of view, if we don't do things about this. It's a negative impact on society from so many points of view. By doing what you guys are doing, you're making radical changes at all kinds of levels in terms of, you know, the difference that you make. And for me, there's no reason why you can't do that as a business, you know. I mean, I don't want to get into the politics of anything, but, you know, there's too much politics talked about things, whereas there's a great website called humanprogress.org. And it's really worth looking at that to find out how human behaviour across the entire world has improved over the last 150 years at every single level. And we don't always see that, and it's a fantastic website because it's just data. There's just loads of data on all the things that have happened that have got better, and it also lists the things that need to still get better. But what you guys are doing is taking it to another level. We're still, you know, as you quite rightly said, you're dealing with people that 100 years ago wouldn't have made it, in any way, shape or form, and now they are. And not only are they making it, they're making a useful contribution to society. And that, you know, that's just a double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just happening.
Yeah.
And funding, obviously schools are going to say, it had to didn't it? Let's talk about it's the funding. It's how do schools come to you because they're going to say they've got zero funding.
Yeah.
Parents have got zero funding. Mm-hmm. The child's got, you know, how do we come to you?
Well, we're a business. We're set up as a business because I tried to set up a charity once, didn't like the way it went, and I stopped doing that. And I understand business. So I've been in business since I was 21, 22.
It's about 10 years then.
Yes, you flattery. It's about 40-something. Basically, we charge an hourly charge. We don't have long-term contracts we tie people into. We charge an hourly rate, and it's set around the level of need of the student. So if they've got some real behavioural problems, and maybe it needs to start off with two members of staff working with them just to help them keep under control, then that's going to be more expensive than just one. But as soon as we can get it down to one, we will. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we can get it from sort of high need one to a lower need one, or our tutors or education specialists, we call them, will actually go into school as soon as we've found a school place for the child, and they'll act as a teaching assistant. Yeah. So they take off their airs and graces as a tutor, and they go in to help the school understand these are the buttons, you know, don't press them, or if you do, this is how we to manage the behaviour. Mm. So it's all very much a question. Yeah, I mean, we have to charge what it costs us to do it, but we don't make huge profits. We plough everything back into our IT system. If you're a client of ours, you could log on online and in real time see what time the teacher arrived, what time the student arrived, what they did that day, examples of the work, and what progress they've made against the targets. Because they each have a personal learning plan with a start point and an end point, and we want to get them into some form of education as quickly as we can. So we're totally transparent. So actually, we're not cheap, but in the end, we work, which makes us
I don't
us
want
very
you to be cheap
effective.
Either. Yeah, no, I want you to pay yourselves exponential so that you keep this passion
The passion comes free. The passion comes free, but...
But it does cost.
It does, but actually, I think we've got it about right. Yeah. And we deliver a cracking service that works. For anyone who wants to at any level, I say even adults are listening and go, I wish I'd done GCSE maths. You know, I'd really like to catch up now. Give us a ring.
Yeah.
Go have a look at our website, have a chat with us online. We can help you.
Yep, no, absolutely fantastic. And you know, money's always a problem with these things, isn't it? And I help run a charity for people with drink and drug addictions, and we can only run because self-funders pay to come in because the money we get for people referred to us doesn't cover even half the cost. Yeah. So by taking self-funders, we make a bit of money out of that that helps to pay for the others. It's just always a juggling act, isn't it? Guys, a fantastic story. Thank you so much for sharing that with
us.
Really brilliant. Give us another shout out, Anthony, for the website.
It's www.
World Wide Web.
Thank you. Freshstart.direct. And that's the education, one-to-one education site. But you'll see a couple of skyscraper banners down the right-hand side. One takes you to the counselling site. The other one takes you to Fresh Start in Education if you're a school or local authority. And if you're a parent and your child's got an education health care plan and say, I'd like to know more about this, they need this, the EHC plan often will fund what we do, and you can badger your local authority, sometimes the school, to get in touch with us because they need to refer. Because if the child's on roll in school, it needs to come really from the school or the local authority. But parents can put pressure on, and we often have this, don't we?
Talk to us, because we'll help advise on that.
Cool. Sorrel, Anthony, thank you so much for that. Absolutely fascinating. Brilliant. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so I've got to rush through the last couple of bits we've got. Have you got anything you need to read urgently?
No, I
need to tell you about the 2020 Business Expo. It's a free event for key decision makers. It's got inspirational keynote speakers, informative workshops, 80-plus exhibitors showcasing their projects, services, networking. There's a networking breakfast and there's speed networking. The speakers at the event include Michaela Wayne, who was an Apprentice finalist in 2017, Apprentice TV programme. And Michaela now owns a construction company. She's the MD of Design, Build and Buy. James Osborne, who's the founder of Energy. Dan Knowlton, who's the co-founder of Knowlton Marketing. Paul Hargreaves, who's the founder of Cotswold Fair. Kendall McDonald, you've got to listen to Kendall. She's mad. She's barking mad. She's brilliant. She's the CEO of Automation Ninjas, and she's brilliant. Go listen to Kendall. The rest of them are great, but Kendall's brilliant. The whole thing's taking place on Wednesday, the 10th of June, at the Ashford International Hotel. If you want more information on either exhibiting or attending, it's www.
World Wide Web.
2020businessexpo.co.uk. That's 2020businessexpo.co.uk. Cool. Also, I need to tell you about the South of England Construction Expo, which is taking place on Tuesday the 28th of April at the South of England Showground, which is in Arding Light in West Sussex. You can find out all about it by going to www.
World Wide Web.
constructionexpouk.co.uk. And there's also a Southeast Construction Awards, which has been sponsored by All Health Matters. And you can find out about the awards by going to www.
Oh, I want to say something different, but World Wide Web.
Yeah. Wild, wet and woolly.
I can't do it. You Wild, do your wibbly wobbly way. Wibbly wobbly way. Do that. It's
wonderful, wondrous.
Carry on. Wobbly. You can't be beautiful, brave body, see?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it have been that?
Well, it can be. www.constructionexpoawards.co.uk. Check them all out. What else you got? You got any tweets?
No.
Kenwood Trust. At Kenwood Place, they're holding a series of boot fairs on the first Sunday of every month throughout 2020, and they'll be held between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. The Sage and Tyne Cafe and Bistro will be open throughout for a delicious lunch. They can hold the fairs indoors if the weather's inclement, and the next dates are March the 1st, April the 5th and May the 3rd. So do check them out. That's the Kenwood Trust boot fairs over there at Yalding. If you want to know more, you can email reception@kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
I'll tell you what I do have, and that's my show tomorrow. So that's the conversation Wednesday from 1 till 2. It's we're in our fourth year. It's an amazing show.
Do you do a show?
I do, yes.
I didn't know.
Tomorrow is part two of a 10-part series with Nick Danes, who is from, he's from a specialist mortgage broker, which I love, which is Prospect Tree Mortgages. We've had him on before.
I've spoken to Nick before.
Nick and I are working together, so really it's one of the areas that my research has come from my next book, which is called Seeking the Wisdom of Woman. How many drops can you put in? But anyway, it was finance. Women and finance really is an area that I'm helping you address. So Nick's coming on, and we're really looking at how we start to build our wealth in assets. Really, how do I get onto the mortgage ladder?
Fantastic. We look forward to that. That's 1 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2 with Bird in Conversation with Nick. I also need to tell you about this Friday, our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show. Amanda, the presenter, is joined by co-host Richard Bell, and their guest is Britt Godlington, who's the director of Kind Planet Company. They produce organic and vegan skincare. Vegan skin? Can you eat it?
So.
It's a real interesting arena, actually, because what actually consists as an organic or vegan product.
I was impressed we made the whole show without Bruce mentioning vegan sausage rolls once.
I'm never the one to mention that.
It's always you.
Yeah.
It's your beef.
I don't like
it. Your beef.
It's my beef, yeah. I don't like vegan sausage rolls.
Made the 2 hours.
I nearly made it without saying it. Anyway, John.
It should be off the air by now, but yeah, we won't say that.
Yeah. Do join Amanda and Richard on the Business Bunker Extra Show at 11 a.m. Friday here on bizradio.co.uk. Thank you for spending time with us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a joy to hear from you on Twitter and by email. It's been fantastic to hear from Bruce Kidd of Oasis.
Thank you very much.
And from Cyril and Anthony of Fresh Start Education. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
We'll be back with another show next Tuesday. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Enjoy your pancakes.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.